Amen, right? Amen. What a beautiful song. I just want to thank Dan for leading us this morning. They always do. As you're grabbing your seat there, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And before we get started, kids, we've got your word, or in this case, words of the day, okay? So you guys have something to do while you're listening to pay attention. Your word or words for today is either the word blind or blind man, okay? Blind or blind man. So if you hear those words, keep tally of how many times you hear those words, or you can maybe draw a picture of today's story that we're talking about. And when you're done, at the end, come on up here, and we've got a prize box for you to get a prize. Mark chapter 10. So we've been in this study for a little while here in the Gospel of Mark. And it's been kind of fun hearing stories that Mark has been sharing about awkward middle school, younger year moments. He's had a good pattern here of a couple good stories, and I thought I'd continue that pattern this morning to get us started. And I grew up, not in Cincinnati, I grew up in Dover, Ohio. Does anybody know where Dover, Ohio is? Ooh, one person. Wow. I'll have to ask you how you know where Dover, Ohio is later. Dover, Ohio is northeast Ohio area, that way, small town. But we had a couple local schools around there, and they decided to do a nice social experiment that is called Student Exchange Day. I don't know if you guys ever experienced Student Exchange Day, but when I was in sixth grade, our school and a couple other schools around decided to swap some kids for the day and do a Student Exchange Day. And somehow I got chosen to be one of those kids to be exchanged, whether it was because they wanted me gone or I'm not sure yet, but I got to go to a school called in the town of Strasburg, and I remember this was like so weird because it's sixth grade, I'm pretty awkward too, I'm unconfident in myself, you know, I've got my friend group, and so you're going to send me to another school where I know nobody, and they're going to pretend to like me, and you know, just all this stuff, it's just a weird thing. But I went and I made through the morning well, lunchtime came, I had a good lunch, and then after lunch they all decided that, you know, they'd let everybody go to the gym and hang out and shoot hoops and do whatever. And so I was excited because I loved basketball at that time, and basketball was life for me. So I was like, yeah, let's go shoot some hoops. I'm going to show you how cool I am. And walk into the gym, and there's like 3 million people in this gym all shooting. Balls are flying all over the place. And so I'm like, okay, I can do this. And so we start playing and shooting, and all of a sudden, a basketball comes out of nowhere and just hits me straight in the face. Now, something you didn't know about me then was I had glasses since second grade. So I was wearing glasses that day, and they were metal, and they were glass, and it was kind of like a car wreck happened on my face, like mangled metal, broken glass. This ball just came and just smacked me. It was so hard in the face. My nose hurt, my glasses were mangled so much I couldn't even wear them. And just so you know, I can see about this far, and the rest of the world is just a blurry nothing. So I had to spend the whole afternoon basically blind. Like, I had to go to these kids' classes, and I just sat there, and they're like reading stuff and looking at things, and I just can't see anything. I'm just literally sat there all afternoon, holding my nose with ice that was like almost broken, and the afternoon was terrible. But our story today made me think of that story, because today we're going to see a man, a lonely blind man, and just see how he survives every day with no hope in a world of literal darkness that he's living in daily. And that just reminded me of that story, and whew, that was a rough day. But before we get into that, We're not going to read through all of Mark chapter 10 today, because there's a lot of different things happening in Mark chapter 10. But I just want to give you a quick run through of some things that are happening in Mark 10 leading up to what we're going to talk about today. So we see in Mark 10, we see Jesus, he's explaining God's view on the difficult topic of divorce. He spends some time in that at the beginning of chapter 10. And then he spends some time with some children. Some kids come by, the disciples are like, oh, keep the kids away, this is Jesus. And Jesus says, no, let the kids come to me. And he says he's touching them, hugging them, and he blesses them. Like, kids, do you think that'd be cool if Jesus came in and you could like hang out with Jesus, you know? No stranger danger with Jesus, it's okay. But yeah, the kids, he came to the kids, and then he used it as a teaching moment. And he says in verse 15, he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Just talking about how we need that childlike faith, right? Isn't it incredible how kids just will trust? They've got faith, like that anything can happen, you know? We need to have that faith as a child to follow the Lord. And then he meets a young rich ruler, a guy that for his whole life he had been following the law and seeking to obey it. And he comes to Jesus. Literally, he says he runs to Jesus and he asks him a question of, how do I obtain eternal life? And Jesus gave him an answer, but he didn't like it too well. Jesus said, you're doing good in everything, but take all your money, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Now, this guy had a lot of money. He was rich. He was young. He was not ready to give up his money. He was not ready to give up his money to follow Jesus. So he walked away. So we see that sometimes the love of riches can keep us from following Jesus. Just a little insight on the actual conversation. Mark 10, 21, it says, and Jesus looking at him, listen to this. Jesus looking at him loved him. Even though that he knew this guy was like, loved his riches, like he saw this guy and Jesus just loved him. And said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Great possessions. Following that, the sons of thunder, James and John, two of his disciples, they got some selfish ideas about Jesus allowing them to sit next to him in heaven, next to his throne. And here's how it went down in verse 42. It says, and Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's like, James and John, you need to get the focus off of you, and you need to serve others, right? You need to serve others. So lots of good lessons in early on here in Mark chapter 10. But let's not spend too much time there because we've got a really exciting story to talk about at the end of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So if you got your Bibles, if you've got your phone, and you're looking that up, Mark 10, verse 46. You can follow with me or just listen. And they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and his disciples, and there was a crowd with them. And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man and saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Followed him on the way. Let's pray. Just ask the Lord to teach us through this passage right here. Lord, we know that we need your help. We know that we need you to teach us. Lord, there's nothing in my words that can have any value. May they all be your words this morning. May your holy word teach us this morning by your Spirit. We love you. Amen. So in Matthew's gospel of this story, it's interesting because he actually says that he healed two people in this situation. But for one reason or another, Mark has decided to focus on one person, this Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And it's really possible that Mark knew this Bartimaeus. So maybe that's why he chose to focus on him. But either way, Bartimaeus means son of the highly prized. So his dad was actually named Timaeus, whose name meant highly prized. And so he was the son of the highly prized one. And the cool thing is, through this story, we're going to see that by the end of it, that Bartimaeus is going to be a follower and a son of the highly prized one, Jesus Christ. We're going to see that today. It's pretty cool. But what is Bartimaeus's current situation? Let's learn a little bit about this guy. So, kids, were you guys listening at all? Do you know anything special or different or unique about Bartimaeus? What's different about him than the other people? He would listen. There's something about his eyes, though. He was blind, right? He was blind. Definitely. So it says in Mark 10:46 there that Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. So during Jesus' day, thousands of years back, if you were blind, you had a rough life. The job options for you were basically a beggar and maybe some little, you know, repetitive jobs that didn't require sight that you could do with your hands. But for the most part, you were stuck to being a beggar to make money, to survive. And because back then, they didn't have medical surgeries for your eyes. They didn't have glasses. So I started thinking this week, like, wow, I probably would have been a beggar back in Jesus's day. It would have been blind Chris Costanza back in the day, sitting there on the roadside asking for money. Like, that's humbling. How many people in here would be blind beggars back in Jesus' day? I see some glasses out there. Yeah, there's some of us that would be. But it was rough. It was a rough life. You had to rely on your family to take you somewhere and drop you off a busy area so you could beg for money, beg for coins, food, all those things, and hope they pick you up at night. You know, like, just imagine. It was just dark. You couldn't see. Like just living, just being able to hear all the other people talking and carrying on with life and the laughing and the joy and all the different things that you can't see happen, that all you can do is hear. I mean, forced to sit in one place day after day, just begging, sitting in darkness. You know, he was probably mocked. He was probably made fun of. People probably stole his money now and then. Like, who knows what happened? So this guy had a hard life. But I want you to close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes. And just feel that darkness. Right? Imagine if you could never open your eyes again. And you just lived in that darkness. Lived in that darkness. This week I've been thinking about my mom, and my mom has sight issues. She's legally blind. She can see some things, but most things are just black, but she does. So I was thinking about my mom, and I was talking to her, and she said how she's thankful to the Lord that she can see some things, And it just really hit me this week when I started thinking about her and Bartimaeus and what he would have went through day after day, day after day. Just hard, right? Just hard. But Bart, I'm going to call him Bart because it's easier to say than Bartimaeus. So Bart, he had heard, though, that there was a guy out there that was doing miracles. He probably heard through the grapevine. I mean, when you can't see, all your other senses are a little better. And I'm sure he heard people talking about this guy that had turned water to wine, that was casting out demons, that was healing the lame. And I bet he wondered, man, if I could just get to this guy, I wonder if he could heal my eyes. You know, I bet he thought that as he started to think about this guy. He didn't know who he was, but he said, you know, he probably heard that they're like, oh, this is the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one from the Old Testament, the one that's going to come and save us. And, you know, I'm sure he heard people reading the scriptures through his life, and I'm sure he heard the name Son of David be used and different names that they called this guy. And he's like, I wonder if this is him. I wonder if this is him, this Son of David that had come through the lineage of King David. And yes, Jesus' dad was of the lineage of King David. So this Son of David was around. But Bartimaeus, he couldn't find him. He didn't know where he was. He couldn't see him. He had no idea. And so he just sat there by the roadside, begging and wishing that he could see. But fortunately, his situation is about to change. It's about to change. So just kind of picture with me. So Jesus is going, and it says he went from Jericho. And back in that day, Jericho actually had two towns. There was Old Jericho, and there was New Jericho. And you went through Old Jericho to get to New Jericho, and then on your way to Jerusalem. And they were on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. And so he started gathering a crowd as he's making his way to Jerusalem. His disciples are with him. It says there's a crowd of people as they've learned who he is, and they start to follow and walk on the road with him. And so just imagine the excitement of everyone walking with Jesus, this Messiah, this guy that's doing miracles. I want to be connected with him. You know, this spiritual experience with Jesus. And so there's all these people, and they're feeling pretty spiritual about being with Jesus at this time, right? But do you remember a little bit that we talked about earlier in Mark 10, where Jesus was like, hey, you need to serve others, you need to give to the poor, you know, don't think about yourself. And he was teaching these things. So let's see if the disciples and the crowds were listening and if they're going to apply that. So we pick up our story in Mark 10:47, and it says, and when he heard, talking about Bartimaeus, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you think the crowds have learned the lesson yet? No. You've got a blind man. And what did they tell him to do? Shut up. Be quiet. Be silent. This is Jesus. You don't want to bother Jesus. Could you just hear him? Like, don't bother the Savior. You know, this less than guy over here that's yelling, he's being super annoying, right? Super annoying. Jesus doesn't have time for him. He has more important people to talk to. Like, could you hear these things happening, these people saying this? And he continues to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, shut up. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. I'm sure the man remembered Psalm 34:6, where it says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. It also reminded me of Luke 18:13, where it says, but the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Romans 10:13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's calling out to the Lord. He's calling out loud. No one's going to stop him. He's calling out. And these people are like, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. Jesus is out here. And he keeps crying out. But the question that hit my heart was like, how often do we miss those crying out for help because we're busy serving Jesus? How often are we doing things for Jesus and there's people over here that need us, that need Jesus, that are need help in some way, and we miss it because we're doing spiritual things over here? It's like, oh, convicting, convicting. How often does that happen? So do we make time when we're doing church stuff? Do we make time for that to pay attention to lonely people that are crying out? Yesterday, our house church had the opportunity to serve an old gal in our community that she is not fit to take care of her yard. So we came in, cleaned up her yard, trimmed a bunch of trees, all kinds of stuff for her, spent a couple hours over there with her. And the one thing that she said that like just sticks with me is like how lonely she is. Doesn't have kids around, doesn't have a husband, doesn't have money, and she's just lonely. Just lonely. And I was like, wow, how often do we miss lonely people? Lonely people. Are you lonely today? Are you feeling lonely? Maybe you are. I don't want Living Church to be a church that misses lonely people, right? If you're lonely, let us know so we can be with you, so we can connect you with people. But Eve, she was lonely. She's lonely. But if you are crying out today, if you are lonely, if you're crying out for help in some way, please let us know. Please let us know. We want to pray for you. We want to help you physically. We want to help you spiritually. However we can, be a support to help you. And you know what's encouraging? Jesus doesn't miss those that are crying out. Jesus doesn't miss those that are crying out. Because look at the next passage or the next verses here in Mark 10:49. He says, as he's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Mark 10:49, it says, and Jesus stopped. Okay, they're cruising down the road, and Jesus stopped. He heard this man yelling. He just stopped. And he said, call him. Call him. This man that was calling out to Jesus, he stopped, and he said, call him. While the other people were like, shut up, be quiet. Hide him, you know, don't let Jesus see him. He says, call him. Call him. Can you hear it? Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, I was just getting him ready to bring over to you, right? Could you imagine? They were telling him to shut up, and Jesus says, call him. Man, I'm sure there were some embarrassed people there. Embarrassed. They didn't see the lonely. They didn't see the poor. They tried to hide them away because they were busy with Jesus. Busy with Jesus. And he says, call him. And they called the blind man, saying, take him. Or saying to him, take heart. Get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. So consider this with me. Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus extended a call to a wealthy rich man to follow him. And how did he respond? Turned around and walked away. But he extends a call to a destitute blind man that hops up, springs up, and goes to him. Answers the call. Answers the call. It's interesting how life works, right? Sometimes the least likely people will follow Jesus. And those that maybe fit the mold of what a good religious person should be won't follow Jesus. They won't follow Jesus. But just as Peter and Andrew, when Jesus called them to be fishers of men, it says they immediately left their nets. So just as they did, blind Bartimaeus immediately throws off his cloak, and it says he sprang up and came to Jesus. He didn't wait around and was like, oh, I'll catch him next time around. No. He threw off his cloak, his robe, threw it off to the side and jumped up. He says he sprang up. This was his chance to meet Jesus, the Son of David. He had heard his call. This guy that he had heard so much about that he'd wanted to meet called him over. He sprang up. He was so excited. He was so desperate for help that he just wanted to get to Jesus. Wanted to get to Jesus. Is Jesus calling out to you today? Right? Has Jesus stopped and said, come over. Come over. Is he calling out to you today? And he could be calling in two ways. He could be calling in two ways. Maybe today he needs to open your eyes to the glorious gospel. Needs to shed light in the darkness of your eyes so that you can see that Jesus loves you and that Jesus wants you to be in a relationship with him, to forgive your sins and make you part of his family. Maybe he's calling you for that today. But also maybe he's calling you because maybe you're sitting on the side of the road out of the game, right? Jesus has given you a mission. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's given you a mission to go and make disciples. And maybe you're sitting on the side of the road, just hanging out, sitting on the bench. Maybe the Lord is calling out to you today to get in the game, to get off the side of the road, get on the road with Jesus, and start walking. Start walking. I mean, maybe God is calling you in these ways. And if he is, respond today. Respond today the way Bartimaeus did, immediately. Immediately. The cool thing is now, Bartimaeus gets to finally meet Jesus. He gets to finally meet Jesus. And he says in verse 51 here in Mark 10, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Wow, what a conversation to hear. Could you imagine Jesus? Hey, what do you want me to do for you? I want a Corvette. Like, no. Like, there's all kinds of things he could have said. But what did he say? He's like, Lord, I just want to see. I just want to see. Let me see you. Let me see the world. Let me see everything. I'm tired of sitting on the side of the road doing nothing in darkness. Please let me see. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Just imagine as Bartimaeus was led to Jesus. Like, finally, he gets to hear this voice of the Son of David. Like, wouldn't that be cool to hear Jesus' actual voice when he was on earth? Like, Bartimaeus got to hear Jesus' actual voice. This voice that was full of mercy and love. Remember, he stopped and he said, call him over. A voice with a question that will forever change Bart's life. Forever change his life. What do you want me to do for you? And I am sure that Bartimaeus, the way he responded, I'm sure he had fear of rejection. I'm sure he was scared. I'm sure all of this was just crazy, just a whirlwind. But he came with faith. He trusted that this guy could help him. And he came with faith and he says, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Let me see. Let me see. And then a miracle happened. Then a miracle happened. Like all of this stuff leading up to all this. All these years of struggling for Bartimaeus. All this stuff leading up. And then all of a sudden a miracle happened. Blind Bartimaeus felt the fingers of Jesus touch his eyes. And just as he responded immediately, he immediately received his sight. In Matthew's account of this, it says that Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes. Remember, there was two of them. But for Bartimaeus, he touched their eyes. And immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. How cool is that? Jesus wasn't like, I can't touch these less than people. He's probably dirty. He's probably, you know, all this stuff. No, Jesus comes up and he touches him. He touches him. He loves Bartimaeus. He loves all of us, right? But he touches his eyes and he's immediately healed. Immediately healed. And you know the super cool thing is he immediately followed Jesus then. What did it say there? It says, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. As soon as his sight was recovered, man, imagine the first thing you see is Jesus in front of you and the crowds and all these things. And the only thing he wanted to do was just follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. It reminds me of John 10, verse 27, where Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Bartimaeus knew his voice. He heard it. That was the first thing he heard from Jesus, was his voice. And then he saw him, and he followed him. The band come on up as we talk a bit more. But just to remember here, remember, Bart began as a blind, lonely beggar on the side of the road, right? But he ended up seeing and following Jesus on that same road. On that same road. I mean, what a cool story. What an incredible miracle that Jesus did. Incredible miracle. So, if you want to cry out to Jesus today, he'll listen. I guarantee that Jesus will listen if you cry out to him today. Whether you're crying out to him for salvation, whether you're crying out to him for helping you with your finances, with a health issue, anything that you cry out to him for, he's going to stop and he's going to listen. He's going to call you over and say, how can I help you? How can I help you? So I want you to think, what is in my heart today that I need Jesus for? What is in my heart that I need Jesus for today? Is it salvation? Because if it is, he's going to listen. He already took care of it. He shed his blood on the cross to cover your sins. He rose again the third day to overcome death. He has paid for everything. We just need to make him Lord of our life. As we read earlier in Romans 10, 13 there, that all them that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that today. Or maybe, like I mentioned earlier, maybe you've just been sitting on the side of the road, not serving Jesus. Maybe you have a relationship with him, but you're not serving. You're not doing the mission that the Lord called you to do. And that may look a little different depending on who we are. But I know the Lord has a mission for all of us to do. Are we doing that? Are we out there in the road, walking with Jesus, taking care of business, doing things that he wants us to do? If you haven't been doing that, call out to him today and ask him to forgive you and say, I want to get in that mission, right? I want to be obedient today. Now, we're going to have a couple people on the sides. If you want to pray with someone today, if you want to pray with me, I'd love to pray with you also. But just really, I want this to be, hopefully this story, like, made it real for you that Jesus is listening, right? A lot of times we think the creator of all things is busy with other stuff. But no, Jesus will stop and listen to you. Jesus will stop and listen. Let me end with this scripture. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, right? Bartimaeus can now look to Jesus, right? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the Jesus we serve today. Look to him. Look to him today. Why don't you stand with me and let's worship that Jesus that healed Bart's eyes.